to them bin houses, from polyester to them pretty Fendi print blouses. Who sent flowers? Soon after that disaster with them twin towers. No regrets, my respects to the 10th power. Love's involved with bubbles that it suds dissolve, and no mirages left visible to cover the scars. Truth is real, with hopes to never lose the thrill. So for now, let's just cruise and chill.
So we keep on, yeah.
Put your seatbelt on.
Is
it too cold in here for you?
What's going on, everybody? This is Tariq Elite. Welcome to the Mac Lessons Radio Show. And like I just said, I'm your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as Mr. King Flex, also known as K Flex, also known to the ladies as Sexy Flexy, Denzel Sausage Den, whatever you want to call me, I'll be that. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by Mac Lessons Radio and MacLessons.com. That's where you can get all the pay-per-view specials. Don't forget to get Mackin' Marriage and Monogamy. That's the latest pay-per-view special. If you have not gotten that pay-per-view special, it is off the chain. A lot of the new listeners, you might not have gotten it yet, but get Marriage, Mackin, and Monogamy. It's a lecture that I did in Charlotte, and the game is hot fire. And also, don't forget to get the Tariq Elite Players Retreat Live in Miami DVD. You can get that at maclessons.com. The Live in Miami DVD is off the chain. It's almost 2 hours of hot scolding fire. The game in that DVD is heavy. I'm telling you, the game in the Miami DVD, that's one of my personal favorite lecture DVDs. In that DVD, you'll learn how men should approach women. Women can understand the mindset of men in the dating game because women can listen to the DVD. Men can learn how to work the clubs effectively. I talk about the club game. Men and women can learn how to not be deceived in relationships. I break all that stuff down in the Miami DVD. So you guys go to maclessons.com and get the Miami DVD. And continue to get the Hidden Colors DVD at hiddencolorsfilm.com. And speaking of films, like I said, we just wrapped on our latest film. It was, the working title was called The School, but the new title is called The Eugenist, and we're getting the website ready for that. I'm going to have a trailer for that in the next few weeks, so you guys stay tuned for that. Let me put on some Mackin' music. Let me put on some Mackin' music so I can spit some hot fire real quick. That was that AZ and Dave Hollister. Let me put on some Mackin' music so I can spit some hot fire. But yeah, like I said, man, we just finished the next film, which is called The Eugenist. I'll have a trailer for you guys, and I'm getting ready for the next film I'm going to do. The next film I do is going to be an action flick. I want to do it out here in L.A. I'm already starting to get worked out for it, because in the last film, I did a little cameo. I'm going to have a bigger part in my next film, and I'm already getting in shape. I'm about to get ripped up. I'm about to look like a crackhead in a minute. I'm about to get that fucking ripped for the next role. It's going to be an action flick. We're going to be fighting, doing kung fu, karate, tai bo, all that shit in there. So I'll keep you posted on the next film project, but it will definitely be an action flick, and we're going to be getting that rolling within the next few months. So I'm just keeping the momentum going. Always got to keep that momentum going. I just finished the film. We're in the editing stages, and I'm just keeping it going. I just got the bug. I want to keep creating fly projects, because we got to get stuff like that. We got to take control of our own projects, because shit, with the movies that's coming out, with niggas playing maids and coons and bucks, I mean, come on, we got to just really take control of our own shit. And I have no problem doing that. Speaking of taking control, there's a movie coming out called A Gang of Roses Part 2, and I've seen some of the clips on YouTube. And, you know, I support any brother, anybody trying to get something going on. But boy, the acting in that movie, they got Amber Rose, they got, they got a whole bunch of African-American actresses. They got Roxy from 106 and Park. I mean, they got every female in Hollywood they can find. And they got Amber Rose on there. And Amber Rose, they got to give her some more acting classes. They're going to ruin this woman's career letting her go do a movie and her skills are not up to par. And it's supposed to be a Western, and she's walking around with that bald blonde head, and it's supposed to be a Western set in the 1800s. So they got to have the continuity of the time together. I mean, y'all, if we're going to do something independently, we got to think the shit out. And not that I'm not, you know, I'm not Martin Scorsese or Spike Lee. You know, I'm getting into the directing game myself, and I'm doing a pretty good job so far. But if we're going to do projects, we got to be very consistent with everything. But I digress. You know, I'm not here to criticize. It's all constructive information because I want to see everybody thrive. I'm not like these haters out here just trying to shit on something and just glad to shit on something. I like to support any black person, any person of color trying to put their bid in and do something on the independent tip. I'm all for that. That's why I support Tyler Perry. I love that brother. I support him even though cats hate on him. That brother's handling his business. The brother's handling his business, and that says a lot. That says more than I can say for a lot of people out here in the game. But I digress. Now, I'm going to get into some good game on today's show. Today's topic is called Friends and Allies. But before I get into that, did you guys see the video on YouTube about this McDonald's incident? And I was just kind of talking about this on last week's show, talking about how a lot of sisters step to cats real disrespectful these days. A lot of sisters step to brothers very disrespectfully these days. And we have a lot of studs out here, a lot of sisters out here who are lesbians, and I have a lot of lesbian listeners, a lot of my female listeners out here, I have a lot of studs who listen to the show because they want to learn game and get women. So I got love for my stud women out there. I love you to death. But then out here in the streets, you got these power studs out here who are terrorizing motherfuckers. They're dirty macking on these women. They step into men like they're dudes. And a lot of these women are starting to get rude awakenings because a lot of these street studs, they like to act like dudes, but then they try to fall into the category of the female victim if somebody steps to them. Now, in this clip of this incident that happened at McDonald's, and you guys can see it on YouTube. I know YouTube took down the original video, but you can see other people. They posted up their version of the video. So it's all over YouTube. Just type in the McDonald's incident. What happened was these studs, these females, who kind of look, one of the females looked like a dude, and I guess the chick who was with her was her girlfriend. They went to McDonald's. They gave the guy a $50 bill, and the brother, the cashier, was a black man. He had to check the money to see if it was real. He was just doing his job. So one of the studs got upset with the dude, started cursing him out, calling them all types of bitches. Strike one. And then while she was cursing him out, he's standing behind the counter. He's still being cordial. She hauls off and slaps the dude. Strike two. So the dude kind of pushes her away. Then the stud jumps over the counter. Her girlfriend goes around the other side of the counter. So they both go around the counter to step to this dude. That's strike three. So what happened? The brother who worked there, what they didn't know, this guy was in prison for like 10 years. He just got out not too long ago. He was in prison for killing somebody. So they learn a very valuable lesson of being a man. If you want to be a man, you got to learn the lessons of being a man. One of the lessons of being a man is you never know who you fucking with. So as a man, you got to be very careful who you step to. See, a lot of these women, they have this gender immunity thing where they can just step to people, and because they're women, there's no repercussion. And a lot of women, especially sisters, you go through life without any kind of repercussion for your action. You can talk crazy, talk greasy, step to dudes, hit dudes, touch dudes, and they're not supposed to do anything to you. So you feel like there's no repercussions. So the stud was basically trying to show out. They jumped over the counter. They stepped to this dude. This brother went to the back and got some kind of metal rod. I have no idea where he got this metal rod from. But when I say this nigga went to town, that nigga got that rod and it was goddamn hammer time. He beat the brakes off these broads. That nigga split these broads' wigs. Nigga, the beat goes on. That nigga was beating them the fuck down. And we can all say, well, we shouldn't condone violence. But the thing is, this guy was basically protecting himself. He didn't know what the situation was. So one of the females ended up with a broken arm, fractured skull. And those women are idiots. Nobody's really feeling sorry for them, because you can't use the I'm the female victim role if you're going to start stepping to a dude on some manhood shit. If you step to certain dudes like you a dude and he splits your wig, who do you have to blame, ladies? And I'm not all about no violence against women, but there's repercussions for everything you do. You just can't be reckless out here in the streets. You never know who you're fucking with. And that day, they fuck with the wrong nigga. And the brother got arrested, and right now there's a defense fund for his bail. So if the guy goes to court, I don't think anything is going to happen to the guy. I think the guy's going to get off. You know, they charged him with a felony, and I think they charged the women with a misdemeanor. But the brother's going to get off. The brother's going to get off. And it's a valuable lesson to women. Women, these days, you just can't step to dudes all sideways. You just can't do it like you used to. Because white daddy ain't really there to protect you like he used to. Because right now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the white community. White folks out here showing out in the streets right now. So the white daddy can't really focus on you. So you got to start getting your mind right. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Today, I want to talk about this Occupy Wall Street thing that's going on. I touched on it a little bit last week, but I want to get into it. I want to talk about all this stuff going on with Occupy Wall Street. I want to really get into it because we've been seeing a lot of it for the last couple of weeks. And I've been seeing a lot of black folks starting to go out there. A lot of black celebrities, they're starting to go out there and represent. I saw Jesse Jackson out there. I saw Russell Simmons, Dick Gregory, Al Sharpton. Kanye was out there. I saw a couple of brothers get hemmed up. You know, they're beating a few white folks down out there. They're arresting white folks. I saw a few brothers take a couple of lumps. A couple of days ago, I saw this black man who was a Marine. He was out there yelling at the cops, cursing the cops out, and the white folks are applauding him, egging him on, hailing him as a hero. So a lot of black folks are gung-ho about going out there side by side, fighting with our white new friends. And the thing is, people, you gotta understand, black folks, and I'm talking to black folks, and I'm talking to whites too, but let me talk to black folks, because a lot of black folks don't understand the difference between friends and allies. And this is what bites black people in the ass. You don't know the difference between friends and allies. Black folks out there getting your asses whooped. Stop doing that. Don't go out there getting beat down by the cops. Don't do that, because this whole Occupy Wall Street thing, it's a lot of disgruntled European American people. They have their grievances. And the thing is, black folks, you go out there on some friendship tip, yelling and screaming, and they're egging you on. And let me tell you something. If some of these white folks got their benefits back and their white privileges back and their homes back and their jobs back, it'll be a whole different game. They wouldn't be out there egging you on. They'd be calling the cops right back on your black ass like they've been doing. And I'm not trying to throw my white brothers and sisters under the bus, but we're going to keep it 100. Because white folks understand the difference between a friend and an ally. Right now, they're looking at black folks as allies. They need as many numbers as they can get out there making noise. And you know, black folks can be very vocal and oral with making noise. We make noise louder than anybody. So they'll use that to their advantage. So I say to black folks, you need to get a real clear agenda. I see a lot of people are yelling about the corporations, and they are the problem. I agree with that wholeheartedly. The corporations are the problem. I'm not in disagreement with that whatsoever. They have always been the problem. And that is my whole point. It's nothing new. Black folks, I don't know why you're out there yelling like this is something new. The corporations, they've always had their feet up our asses. The corporations have always thrown African-American people under the bus. Now that they're throwing white Americans under the bus, white Americans are starting to wake up. They've been throwing them under the bus, really. They've been throwing white Americans under the bus, too, but they've been throwing us just a tad bit harder. But whites are starting to wake up to it. Because, see, the thing is, Europeans, especially in America, they don't have a history of taking any kind of injustice when it comes to them. Any kind of injustices on them, they don't take that shit. They never take that. Even in Europe, they'll fight back. Us over here, and a lot of black folks in Africa too, but we've become accustomed to it, so we just take the shit. Now that they're making noise, black folks are starting to make noise again. Now, we made noise back in the 60s, but now the white folks are making noise, black folks want to get some balls again. And you don't understand the difference between having a friend and having an ally. And this is some information that I got from my brother, Dr. Booker T. Coleman. I heard him doing an interview recently talking about the concept of friends and allies, and he made some very good points. But the thing is, the corporations, they've always thrown black folks under the bus. So I say this to black folks, don't be out here screaming, hooping, and hollering, just showing your ass in front of white folks about these corporations. Because let me tell you something, these corporations, they got, a lot of them got their money from slavery. We're the reason why some of those corporations have the money they have, if you really want to get deep with the shit. Not only have they had their foot in our asses, they got started from putting their foot in our asses. Let's look at the history of some of these corporations. Look at Lehman Brothers. They started off in the slave trade, making money from the slave trade. Some of these banks, Wachovia Bank, do your research about Wachovia Bank. They got money from the slave trade. JP Morgan Chase, they got money during the slave trade. AIG, Aetna, those institutions, they have ties to the slave trade. Do your research on this. I'm not just whistling Dixie here. Some of these insurance companies, like Lloyd's of London, one of the big insurance companies out here in the game. They made most of their money in the slave trade. They insured the slave ships. So these corporations, they've always been getting over on the African American community. So you got to understand the game, people. So a lot of whites might say, well, Tariq, come on, dude. It's not about race, bro. It's about class. Some black folks might even say that. They might say, hey, man, it's not about race. It's all about class. This is a class issue. And it is a class issue. But you have to understand, in America, class and race goes hand in hand. Let's keep it 200. In America, class and race goes hand in hand. Class was founded on the concept of race. See, the thing is, man, this country was founded by elitists. This country was founded by elitists. So it's funny to me when I hear a lot of, especially right-wingers, right-wing white people, they'll say, our great forefathers this, our great forefathers that. if you look at history, and I'm talking to my white listeners out there, I want you to listen, and my brothers out there, if you got some white friends, let them listen so I can put them up on a little bit of game. Your elitist forefathers didn't give a shit about you. They didn't give a shit about your ancestors unless they had money. The founding fathers of this country didn't give a shit about another European. They thought you were peasants. That's why there was white slavery. They called them indentured servants. They called Africans indentured servants at first. But they would enslave Europeans just like the Africans. If you were not an elitist like them, they didn't give two shits about you. You better really look back at history. Really look at history. And the problem was, the Europeans knew that back then. That's why the Europeans and the Africans, if you look at history, look at documents, look at records, especially in the 1600s, in the original colonies that would later form the U.S., there were a lot of rebellions that involved Africans and Europeans working as allies. They were working as allies against the elitist. It wasn't a race thing. It was a class thing back then, because you were either rich or poor. There was no middle ground. So the Europeans and the Africans, they had a vested interest with one another. They needed to join forces and get at the elitists who were exploiting them. Because you remember, man, the first Europeans who came over here were prisoners, derelicts. They had prostitutes. I mean, they had some low status people coming over from Europe. So they were looked down upon by the elitist. So there were a lot of rebellions back then. Do your research about Bacon's Rebellion. I've talked about that in my lectures, and I've talked about that on the show. That was one of the big rebellions, but there were there's dozens and dozens of rebellions back then. So what the elitists did in order to quell the rebellions, they had to say, damn, we need a buffer class between us and the poor. Because we got all this paper and we got all these broke ass Africans and Europeans trying to get at us, we got to do something. So they needed to create a buffer class, and they did. They created a buffer class with the Europeans. They chose the European because they had a tad bit more in common with them, meaning they came from the same continent. So they could understand their language a little better. Some of the Africans, they spoke different dialects or whatever, but they could relate more, pretend to relate more to the European peasants. So they said, okay, hey, European peasant, we got this whole new thing called whiteness. Because y'all have to remember, nobody was called white before the 1600s. That's some new shit. So they used race to create a buffer class. They said, okay, you new people, you Europeans, we're going to call you white. We're going to call them Negro. We're going to call them black. They're going to be slaves for life. We'll give you a few extra peanuts, white folks. We'll give you a couple of acres of land. We'll give you freedom. But you got to keep your eye on them. Now, you ain't going to get the same shit we get. But if you work hard, you just might. So that was the whole hustle. That was the whole scam. And that's been the scam to this day. That's why most riots and uprisings in this country, they've always been racial. Like in Europe, when there's an uprising in Europe, it's financial or political. Just like over in Greece not too long ago, they were burning down banks. In Madrid, they were putting in work over there. Recently, about the whole corporation thing. See, they don't just march, they put in work. They'll burn some shit down. In London, all over Europe, in France, a lot of their riots and uprisings have to do with politics, policy, or finances. They don't, the smokescreen of race, that's not, they don't fall for that. And that's been a whole little hustle here, the smokescreen of race. And the thing is, they've always expected the white community to wake up to that. Because race is a great smokescreen. It keeps everybody preoccupied. Again, the Watts riot, the LA riots, most of the riots in this country or the uprisings were racial. And that's a great smokescreen, because the elitists, they can kick back and just be like, good, these motherfuckers are still asleep. See, it's real deep, man, and that stuff has gone on to this day. That has worked for the last 400 years, and it has taken Europeans 400 years to somewhat wake up to it. And white folks are waking up to it. Is number one, you have a black president, so psychologically that messes with a lot of European Americans, because it kills the myth of white supremacy, seeing a black family running this country. Now, we can pretend that, and all the liberals can pretend that that's not a factor, but psychologically, even if you're not aware of it on a conscious level, on a subconscious level, that fucks with you. And now that these corporations are throwing you under the bus, you're losing your home, you're losing your jobs, because they've outsourced the jobs to other countries like India, Mexico, China. The white privileges aren't kicking in no more. And the smokescreen of race, the Tea Partiers are doing that, but you know that's the misguided bullshit. You know that's not what the case is. It's these corporations that's getting over. Now you're starting to see what the real problem is. And the thing is, black folks are quick to jump by white American side and march along with them and protest along with them. And that's a noble thing. Marching against the corporations, that's a very admirable thing. You should have been doing that. See, the thing is, when we complain about it, when black folks said, hey, wait a minute, these people are oppressing us, it's because of these people, they're taking our homes, these people are causing us to not have jobs, y'all would say some real fucked up shit to us. Y'all would say shit to us like, well, goddamn it, black folks, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Isn't that what you guys would tell us for years, decade after decade? Y'all would tell us to get it together. Stop complaining. If I can do it, you can do it. No one's oppressing you. Stop looking for a handout. I mean, we got told all that shit when we were trying to say what everybody's trying to say now, that these people are kind of getting over on us. They're not giving us a fair shake. They're railroading us. Now that it's happening to everybody, now cats want to get out here and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Okay. And again, we know the game. You're looking for allies, and that's cool. I have no problem with them looking for allies, but I do have a problem with black folks running out here on the front line, showing their ass too quick. Black folks, you need to get an agenda. You have to look at whites the way they look at you, as allies. They're not your friends, because if white, again, like I said, if a lot of white folks, and I'm not trying to shit on white folks, I'm not trying to shit on you, because I know a lot of European people hate to be criticized. But we're having real talk. I got to keep it 100. We're having some real effective dialogue. So nobody should be offended. But the thing is, like I said earlier, white folks have an agenda. Black folks need to have an agenda with this thing. The first thing on the agenda, the number one thing what black folks should do before they go out here marching and protesting. The black agenda right now, because of the momentum we have with the whole Occupy Wall Street protest. Black folks, you need to get out here and let the whites know we'll march with you, we'll protest with you, but what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to make more noise about the unjust incarceration of all these black men in these prisons, because the corporations are making money off that. If we're going to protest the corporations, we need to protest them across the board and talk about the injustices across the board. And we're going to have to talk about injustices that affect us specifically. And one thing that really affects the black community specifically is the unjust incarceration of all these brothers. These brothers are getting railroaded into the prison system over minor little bullshit offenses. And the corporations make a lot of money off these cats with the privatization of these prisons. That's a major issue that we, for some reason, I don't know why we don't talk about it in the black community like we should, but we got to get these brothers up out of there. There's too many of our young brothers up in here and we ain't doing shit about it. We're just sitting up here letting these brothers rot. Let the image of the black male be criminalized so it will be justified to have them up in there. We got to be more vocal about that. And while we got this momentum going with this whole Occupy Wall Street shit, that needs to be a topic raised and they need to get on board. And y'all need to start presenting that to them. If these white folks are down and they're anti-corporation like they say they are, have them get on board with making noise about getting these brothers up out of these prisons like they're locked down in. That's a major thing. And again, we don't have to be on some friend shit. If you want to be friends, that's cool in the gang, but just look at it as an ally thing. They're trying to get their jobs in their homes. Let's go out here and make noise, but we got to get some of these. We want our jobs and homes too, but we got to get some of these brothers out of jail now because we're getting extra affected by these corporations. They really get over on us, and you need to make that an issue. Stop just going out there getting your ass whooped for nothing, because that's what you're doing now. Don't go out there marching and protesting, getting your ass whooped for nothing. They ain't gonna get their asses whooped for you. I mean, we're gonna have to keep it 110 here, people. Make that an issue at some of these Occupy Wall Street rallies. And if they're not down to do that, if they just don't, they want to keep quiet about that, fuck them. I'm dead serious. You guys got to be serious about handling your business like that. If you get to these Occupy Wall Street people and you want to present your case of getting some of these brothers up out of prison or making some noise about it and they don't want to say shit, fuck them. Charge their asses to the game because they ain't serious. You don't need to be down. Black folks, you got to start getting serious about handling your business. Understand the difference between a friend and an ally. Because the thing is, sometimes when you do business with people or you work together with people and people get their agenda satisfied, you're still thinking you're friends. You're still thinking you're friends and they've already turned on you. They have no use for you. And this has happened to black folks time and time again. After the Civil War, the Freedmen's Bureau, there were black people working with poor white farmers, or poor blacks working with poor whites. When they started signing bills and they started to take those Union troops up out of the South and start giving white folks their little benefits and privileges, they turned on those black folks very quickly. Then them Jim Crow laws started popping off. You thought you had a friend and they flipped the script on your ass because you didn't get your agenda taken care of. Black folks got to start having an agenda when they deal with these people. You want to get together and sing We Are the World, but you better have your goddamn agenda intact. Because I'm not going out here getting my ass whooped for nobody. We done got our asses whooped enough. So this is a great bargaining chip that we have right now because people are focusing on the real enemy, which is these exploitive corporations. So have your agenda ready. Have them be vocal about what's going on in the black community. And don't be afraid to bring up shit that's going on in the community because they're not afraid to say what's going on with them. They're not afraid to say, hey, we need our houses back. We need our jobs back. They're not afraid. So you don't be afraid to say what you need. Because the thing is, man, let's keep it 110. The corporations and the people on top, they've been waiting on shit like this. Let me tell y'all something. There was a document back in the day called the King Alfred Plan. Do your research about that. Now, the King Alfred Plan, that was a document. It was like an offshoot of the COINTELPRO program. Now, a lot of sources, just like Wikipedia, they'll try to say that the King Alfred Plan was a hoax. It's not a damn hoax. It was not a hoax. And don't get your research from Wikipedia. I know a lot of people will try to reference Wikipedia. They put a lot of bullshit on there. But the King Alfred Plan, it was a document talking about how they will implement martial law and how they would stop an uprising of a minority group. They went point by point on what they would do if there was a minority group that took over the country, or if there was some type of riot or rebellion and they needed to bring order back in the country. And they talked about how they would bring in the National Guard and bring in certain troops, and they laid it out on an hour by hour basis. Hour one, we'll bring in this. Hour two, we'll get the local police in. Hour three, we'll get the federal police in. Hour four, we'll get the National Guard. Hour five, we'll have martial law. Hour six, we'll lock down the prisons. We'll disarm black law enforcement. I mean, this shit, they had it down to a T. See, the thing is, now they have black folks pretty much controlled, because the black folks are in the penal system right now, in the jail system, so the black community is pretty much controlled. They have the black community contained. So what they did with the King Alfred plan, they revised it in 1984. Now it's called the Rex 84 plan. I think that's short for Readiness Exercise 1984, but it's called the Rex 84 plan. And what they have now, they have internment camps all around the country. They have these secret little camps. And do your research. I know I'm sounding like a conspiracy theorist for those who don't know, but do your research about Rex 84 camps. I know I'm getting a little deep right now, but we need to know this stuff. They got these internment camps all around the country. They got them at airports. Like, do your research about the Colorado airport conspiracy. A lot of conspiracists say that there's an underground bunker at the Denver, Colorado airport. But there are little camps all around the country that's ready to house people in case of an uprising or a rebellion. And the thing is, these Rex 84 camps, these camps are not for black folks. These Rex 84 camps are not for black folks. These camps are for white folks. These Rex 84 camps, these are for white folks who are ready to rebel and have an uprising. I'm telling you right now, all these white folks doing these marches and Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Oregon, Occupy Wyoming, they're lighting the generators up at these camps right now, just in case some shit gets violent, because they've been preparing for this for years. Because again, the black community, they have them contained, but the real problem will come when white folks start to realize and wake up to the whole hustle and the whole scam. And right now they're starting to do that, and they had these camps ready. They've been having them ready. So that's just something to think about. That's something to think about. And do your research about what I'm saying here. I'm not just spouting out a bunch of conspiracy theories. This stuff is verifiable. But anyway, black folks and white folks, have your agenda together. Black folks in particular have a specific agenda. The number one agenda right now is getting these brothers up out the penal system, because they're making money on these brothers. These corporations are profiting off these brothers. They're making a grip on these brothers being locked down. That should be an issue on the forefront right now, since we got all this momentum going on. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's been tonight's or today's episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. For more game, check out my pay-per-view special, Marriage, Mackin', and Monogamy. And if you really want some game, like I talked about on today's show, you need to check out Secret Societies. That's a great pay-per-view special. That's at maclessons.com. Black Secret Societies, that's a great pay-per-view special. That's at maclessons.com. Real good game at that. And don't forget to get the Miami DVD, Tariq Elite Live in Miami, and all my DVDs at maclessons.com. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Tariq Nasheed, and add me on my Facebook fan page at facebook.com/Tariq Nasheed. And if you don't know how to spell my name, it's T as in titty, A-R as in ratchet, IQ, last name N as in niggas, AS as in shit, HEED as in dick for all you ladies. Anyway, y'all, that's been it, man. I'm gonna holler at y'all. Peace.